Sanatan Bhattaragana Shigiva Gopal Bhattasva Gunat Sato Swami Ki Praise the Holy Shri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmatana Nisi Advaita Kadadhar Sivasati Bhuda Bhakta Vindaki Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakun Radhakun Giri Gopar Dham Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Navadvait Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Maya Ki Jamuna Maya Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhaktavinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Madhava Asta Sakti Ki Sri Sri Panchatattva Ki Sri Paladra Sringa Deva Ki Sri Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj Abhya Bhava Ki Vithai Gaudu Vrimanandi Hari Glorious to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gopura. Sri Prabhupada Ki. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shamakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Vyavishrishnath Sundivari Pasyati Devasatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shamakti Bhakti Tirtha Swami Iti Namine Namaste. Jaya Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So today is a very special day. We're honoring a very dear son of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. I was requested by the disciples of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj to give this class, although I feel like it's impossible for me to really do justice to such a great soul. I pray for the devotees to empower me to say something about Maharaj that will be inspiring for everyone. And in glorification, of course, of Maharaj's qualities and his activities. I chose a verse from the 11th canto, which I felt was somewhat connected to some of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's preaching to the devotees in his way of inspiring devotees to move forward in devotional service. So, this, actually, it's two verses in 127 and 28. They put 28 on the board, so we'll do that one as the Sanskrit, and then I'll read the 27 and 28. Tato bhajate mam prittaha sarador drida nischaya Jushamanas chatamakaman Dukodar comes to Garhyam Tato bhajetam hampitaham Svaravadridha nischayaham Jushamanas chatamakaman Dukodar comes to Garhayan Tato Pajetam Hambritta Sharavardhira Nishchaya Dushyamanas Chitam Kaman Dukodar comes to Garhayan. Thank you. Sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So I'll record a part of the purport because it's very lengthy. Beginning stage of pure devotional service is described here by the Lord. A sincere devotee has practically seen that all material activities lead only to sense gratification, and all sense gratification leads only to misery. Thus, a devotee's sincere desire to engage 24 hours a day in the loving service of Lord Krishna without any personal motivation. A devotee sincerely desires to be established in his constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servitor, and he prays to the Lord to elevate him to this exalted position. Now in the purport, there is an expression of that mood of petitioning the Lord, and it's a prayer given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and I'll read that prayer. By my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with so many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. Whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately, or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I'm not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities, even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements. I will not even be slightly interested. Although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. Om Agyan Timiran Prasya Kinam Chidam Savakaya Chaksin Unmilita Vyena Tasmara Shri Guru Vedi Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhi Stav Stapita Mena Bhutare Swaya Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapa Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shivasadi, Gaura, Bhakta, Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Bhakti Kirti Maharaj would often try to inspire the devotees with a prayer that he came up with, which I thought was really the same mood of this particular verse. I'll read that prayer. And he asked the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement many times, both in public and in smaller gatherings and in private, to make this prayer. And it says, it's very short, "My dear Lord, whatever we need to be better servants for Srila Prabhupada's mission, let that happen and let it come to us. Whatever we need to have taken away to become pure in Srila Prabhupada's service, let that be taken away." So Maharaj's mood was to somehow or other bring devotees to the stage of unalloyed devotion. His own devotional service, in my own personal experience with him, was one of unstoppable, continuous, intelligent, determined effort to preach Krishna consciousness. In the sense that I saw him when I used to associate with him many times, I had that good fortune. He never wasted a moment in devotional service. He embodied that quality of intense devotion, which is a feature of a person who is, what we say, at least on the stage of Baba, if not Prema. That every minute he was using all his time, energy, and whatever else Krishna gave him in devotional service. And whoever associated with him, he brought that same mood to them also. It was kind of scary sometimes, in the sense that I could see that here was a person that was so fixed in serving Srila Prabhupada and so convinced that what Srila Prabhupada gave was the perfect example for auspiciousness in the life of everybody. And he exhibited that both in his preaching and as an example. Many times he asked us to make this prayer. And it's interesting because we are powerless in the sense that our efforts are simply part one of the success in our devotional service. It's Krishna's mercy, really. And to get that mercy, or to be eager for that mercy, is the qualification to receive the mercy. And making this prayer shows that we actually want to become purified. Pure devotional service is devotional service. Mixed devotional service simply is something that we have to work out and get to the stage of pure devotional service. We are never satisfied with the mixed devotional service. And that mixed devotional service will simply get us another birth. What does mixed devotional service mean? That service still, where there's still personal motivations, whatever that motivation may be. Even if one wants material comforts, that's a tinge in material desires. To be comfortable in this material world, even while one's doing one's devotional service, still one is thinking in terms. Maharaj used to travel all around the world. I remember one time he said, "I just came back from 2 months going to 35 countries to preach. 35 countries in 2 months." That's, if you can actually calculate it, if you actually broke it down, that's about one country every 2 days, which is really, I think, something that would be impossible for many of us to keep up with. I know for me it would be totally impossible. But that was his determination to reach as many devotees as he could. One of the qualities of Maharaj that I really would like to bring out, and I think this is one of his most outstanding qualities, is his deep compassion to help those who were considered, maybe by material standards or by any standards, to be in a lesser position, to be unfortunate. Maharaj grew up in the Cleveland, Ohio ghettos,
And as a young boy, he had very little. He explains, it's actually written in his biography, that he had only two sets of clothes. And then he would wear one and wash one. His mother, she would tell him, there was one boy who had no clothes or had hardly any clothes. Give that extra set of clothes to this other boy. He said, whatever good qualities I had, of course this was his only ability, I got it from my mother. He was always glorifying his mother, how she was so selfless, although such, what we say, impoverished materially. And he grew up in that mood of wanting to help others. Of course, it was already there, but his mother fanned that quality more and more. And when I was with him, he was always concerned about helping others. He never liked devotees to be exploited, to be misused, to be mistreated, to be neglected, to be somehow or other given a second-class situation. He always wanted to give the devotees the best opportunity to make spiritual advancement. And he could relate to everyone. That was the most amazing thing. No matter who it was, young little children, generals from the Pentagon, people who were famous in the material world as writers, as movie stars, as actors, as political people, he can relate to everybody. And that's a quality of an amazing devotee, is that they're selfless. And that relationship that they're giving is that they're giving Krishna through themselves. He met with Nelson Mandela. And Nelson Mandela in South Africa, he had dinner with him. And he actually preached to him about actually going out and preaching spiritual principles. Of course, Nelson Mandela, I thought that was a great idea, and he started to incorporate some of the things that Bhakti Kirtan Maharaj was teaching in his own campaign to help people in South Africa. Muhammad Ali, another personality. In one year, I don't remember which year it was the 1970s or something, they had this award in America that the most popular, famous people are voted, and then there's a prize or award or some recognition is given to the most outstanding person by vote. Muhammad Ali won one year. He was the most popular. He took darshan from Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami actually preached to him about celibacy. And he was married. Of course, his wife didn't like that too much. So that became a little bit of a difficulty. But actually, as Maharaj told me, and also you can read it in some of the accounts, that Muhammad Ali was very much inclined to that mood after reading Bhakti Swami. And here's a person who was so popular and so powerful, influencing millions of people. His concern, again, for those who were in a lesser position. I remember I used to spend time with him in Gita Nagari. And he would just open up his heart and say, why are devotees not being treated properly? Why are they being mistreated? Why are women given second-class situations? Why are our children being abused? He was always concerned with that, being in that mood of wanting to help those who were in that position. Of course, that was an extension of his love, his compassion, his concern for it, and his devotion to Srila Prabhupada. He wrote so many books. He wrote a whole series called The Beggar, and in that expression, he simply put himself in the position of an
ordinary, conditioned, what we might say, soul who is struggling with the basic principles of devotional service. Teaching by his example and by his mood of humility that no matter who you are, no matter how great you may seem to be, we always have to plead and beg for the mercy. Otherwise, the tendency is that the false ego is always there to dictate and to somehow or other take the position of the soul and claim that, well, you know, I'm a guru, I'm a sannyasi, I'm whatever I am. Externally, we seem to identify with that. But Maharaj, although he had so much, what we say, position, he was a very prominent member of the GBC. He was preaching around the world. He was making devotees practically in so many different countries. Still, very simple, very humble, and very, what we say, unpretentious. He told me a dream one time. Maybe some of you heard this dream before, but it's really an interesting little dream. He said, I was dreaming one night, and Prabhupada appeared in my dream. And Prabhupada was sitting, and I was sitting at his lotus feet, and we weren't speaking. Prabhupada was very grave, and I was just sitting there, being very happy to sit at his lotus feet. And then, Prabhupada pointed to the door, and then Maharaj looked, and Prabhupada said, let them in. Please let them in. So he got up and went to the door, and he saw all these persons from the black race. The Prabhupada inspired him, and then right after that, he started to preach in Africa. And of course, his preaching in Africa changed so many people to Krishna consciousness. He was appearing on televisions, on radio, meeting very important people, such as chiefs, heads of state, persons who had such influence within society. And he was really making an effect upon their lives and teaching that if you want to be a leader, you really have to be a servant. You lead from the position of serving others, not leading from the position of wanting others to serve you. It's quite revolutionary for people in the material world, maybe for even some of us. But that was his mood, to lead from a position of service. One time he told me he was becoming very influential with one chief in one country. It might have been Nigeria, I'm not sure, or sure, or Ghana. Anyway, some of the chiefs, associates, minister would become very envious. Very envious. Didn't like that he was getting such recognition and such, what we say, association in such an intimate way with the chief. And so he told me they put a spell on me. They tried to kill me. And he describes what happened one day. He was riding in a car, and there was a driver, and he was sitting in the back seat. And he said, these men, who were very expert in using voodoo, put a spell on the driver. And the driver drove right straight head-on into the oncoming traffic. Like he was just like mesmerized. He said, I took shelter of Krishna. And Krishna saved me. Krishna saved me. So he preached in so many different places where it was very dangerous. Life-threatening. So many times. So many difficulties. His preaching behind the Iron Curtain in the early days with the book party.
won such recognition with Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, when he came in 1977, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. He got his health back a little bit, and he went to England, London. Bhaktivinoda Maharaj had come, along with other devotees, to see Srila Prabhupada. So Mala Krishna Goswami, knowing the difficulties and the sacrifices that Bhaktivinoda Maharaj and the book party had undergone to bring Prabhupada's books to all these various universities, wanted Prabhupada to see and wanted Bhaktivinoda Maharaj to get personal darshan with Prabhupada. So he arranged for Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, who was Ghanisham Prabhu at the time, to come into the room, and Prabhupada was there. When Prabhupada seen him, he stood up and he walked over to him and he embraced him. Now, I heard from other senior devotees that Prabhupada didn't do that very much with his disciples, embracing his disciples. Very few got that kind of special mercy. But Prabhupada was so pleased that it is explained that Prabhupada actually had tears in his eyes of gratitude and appreciation for what Bhaktivinoda Maharaj had done. So much so that he said, "Your life is perfect. Your life is perfect." Maharaj describes him as one of the most powerful experiences he had in his life. And Prabhupada was so pleased. And what he had to undergo to preach in those countries. There's one story, probably you've heard this story before. I think he was at one university in Romania, and he had some books undercover, wanting to meet professors, to give Prabhupada's books to professors. So he was walking along the corridors of the university, and then he sensed, someone is following me. He could sense that. So, he looked back and he saw some man that looked like it was following. So he said, "I was fast, so I ran." And then there was a chase throughout the university corridors. And then, he didn't know what to do, so finally he turned a corner. And when he turned a corner, he looked up and saw the sign of this one professor's office. He had his name. So he immediately opened the professor's door and ran in. The door had just happened to be open. And the professor was dead and was shocked. Somebody comes running into your office. And then, remembering the professor's name, he said, "Are you professor such and such?" The professor said, "Yes." He said, "Well, we have a meeting. It's 1 o'clock. Don't you know?" He said, "I don't remember any meeting." He said, "Didn't your secretary tell you about this?" He said, "No. Anyway, she must have forgotten." He sat down and sold a whole set of books. On the run. He could turn a somewhat difficult situation. He could turn a somewhat difficult situation into success. That was his, he had such faith and such determination. I think he was an embodiment of determination and devotional service. I've seen a few. I've never seen any so determined. One time, I said to him, "Maharaj, you know, you're working so hard. You know, sometimes you better slow down a little bit. It might be bad for your health." He looked at me like, "Why are you telling me that?" He said, "I can't do that. I want to use every moment for Prabhupada's service. I don't want to waste a moment." He says, "Life is short. And Prabhupada's given us so much. What could we do in return?" And so, that was his determination to serve in such a way. I remember 2005. It was October. It was a few months after Maharaj had left the planet. We had the first ceremony for his departure. It was in Detroit, Michigan. I remember the day. It was October 16th, 2005.
And devotees and also people from the secular world came to honor Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And during that ceremony, there was a senator from the district, one of the districts of that area, Detroit, Michigan. And that senator, he spoke. Jai Prataka Maharaj Ki. That senator, he spoke in a most incredulous way about Bhakti Tirtha's concept of servant leadership. He said, I've been in politics for so many years. I never heard anything about this idea that a leader has to be a servant. But I like it. I like it. I really like it. I think it's a great concept that we should be out there in the mood of servant. And then reading Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's books and becoming inspired by them, he started to preach to the devotees during that ceremony how important it is to be a servant and a leader. Be in that mood. And to hear someone from the secular world, from someone who has such a, what we say, important position in the secular world, speak in such a way, it was really edifying for all of us and inspiring. And that just shows how much Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is able to reach so many people in the material world. Generals. He was giving class in universities in Washington, D.C., where people from the Pentagon were coming to hear about leadership. He was teaching that if you want to be a leader, you really have to have the qualities of a servant. You have to lead not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Simply having a position and simply having some intelligence or even some followers doesn't really, in the real sense of the term, make you a leader. A leader, or one who is trying to represent the Supreme Leader, Srila Prabhupada, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must imbibe the qualities of leadership. And that's what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj so much was trying to emphasize to all of us. To be a leader from the inside out. Not to demand respect, but to command respect by one's devotion, by one's service, by one's compassion. And he was ideal in that. He had such ability to attract anyone and everyone to Krishna consciousness. I would just watch him and be amazed how people would just sit and listen to him. And when he would preach, his preaching was, he would take what Prabhupada gave us and take it in such a way to bring it in a way that people could understand no matter who they were. Whether they were generals in the Pentagon or TV personalities or whoever they were, he could relate to anybody and everyone. It's a great loss that he left. I remember he kept saying in his last few days or his last few weeks, he did something really amazing that I very, very rarely see, and others have also mentioned too, how in his last days, after undergoing such difficulties with having been afflicted by this very insidious disease, melanoma cancer, that he turned it into a preaching opportunity for devotees to understand how to leave this world. He wrote a book called Die Before You Die, or Die Before Dying. How to leave the world. I was just reading how Indrajumna Maharaj, having heard about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's physical difficulties, came to Gita Nagari to see him. And when he walked in the room, he was totally astonished to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was sitting in the chair, smiling. And he welcomed Mara. He was thinking he's going to be in his bed, he's going to be overwhelmed with the effects of the disease. But it was the opposite. He was somewhat transcendental, at least, in such a way that he could continue preaching, continue giving whatever he wanted to give to the devotees. I think many of the devotees who were there in those last few months saw the most amazing things happen. We were there, we were lamenting his situation, and he was lamenting our situation. It was like that. He was saying, you know, you're going to have to go through this too. And if you're not ready, you know, then you miss the boat. You're going to miss Krishna consciousness. So he was preaching in such a way that to use himself as an example of how to lead this world. And he left. Where did he leave? Not in Mayapur, not in Vrindavan, but in Gitanagari. Why did he do that? Devotees would say, Maharaj, let's take you to Mayapur. Let's take you to Vrindavan so you can lead nicely in the holy place surrounded by so many devotees and get the mercy of the Dham. He said, Gitanagari is a Dham. Srila Prabhupada came here. Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet are here. Any place that Srila Prabhupada came and preached and inspired them, that's a holy place. So I want to teach the society that any temple that Prabhupada came to is a dham. Because of being touched by Srila Prabhupada's personal presence and his mercy. So he did that, which was quite unusual. He left in Gitanagari, surrounded by so many wonderful devotees. But he left in a glorious way. I like to go back and tell another little story. It's a kind of a personal story that was just between me and Bhakti Kirti Swami that was really shows that his relationship with Krishna, he loved to offer arti. You would see him in the morning, he would get up and do Mangal arti. Many times when he was at Gitanagari, if he was not answering emails. Because he was always concerned that the devotees would get a response. He answered all his emails. Now you might say, wow. And he used to get sometimes 200 emails a day. And I used to see him. I used to leave him in the evening, and then he'd be up, and then I'd come back in the morning, and he'd be up all night doing emails. And he would never read the emails on the computer. He'd have them printed out, every email. And then he had the secretary read, and then he would dictate the response. He said, I can't neglect any of the devotees. They're writing to me. It's my duty to inspire them in Krishna consciousness. That's the way he was. But he would love to come to Mangal Arati and offer Mangal Arati. So one time there was a festival. Every year the devotees in Gitanagari would have this festival. And one day there would be marriages, and one day there would be initiations. It was in May every year. So I remember it was the year 2000, I think, 2000 or 2001. And there was a problem, a huge problem, that the land, Gitanagari land, there was still money owed on the land. And there's what is called a balloon payment. And you have to pay a certain amount, a large amount at a certain time, or you could lose the land. So the payment was due, $30,000. And I said, Maharaj, do you have the money? He says, no. I said, can you get it? He says, I'm trying, but it's not coming. I need $30,000 in a few days, or else we can lose the land. He said, I've been offered by the lumberjacks to come and take our trees, but I can't do that to Gitanagari's land. Knowing how Prabhupada would be very unhappy if I gave the land simply for trees. He said, I don't know what to do. So it was the festival. So he was struggling with that during the festival. So one night, we had Archie. And it was Gaur Archie. So he went on and did the Archie. And then he came off, he said, while I was on the Archie, I was praying to Sri Sri Radha Dharmadhar, please help us make this payment. We don't want to lose this land. We don't want to lose your worship here. Gitanagari is so important. Prabhupada really had a lot of hope for this project to make it develop into something wonderful, self-sufficiency. And he said, while I was offering the Archie, Krishna spoke to me. He said, Henry. And I said, Henry? He said, Henry. You see Henry? He's sitting over there. Now, Henry was a very wealthy person. And Henry was very kind, and he would give money to devotees. So, but I said to Damodar, when he told me Henry, I said, Damodar, I can't ask Henry because everyone's asking Henry for money. And you know how it is when you're rich and people ask you for money, you get a little annoyed after a while. Sometimes you get a little less generous. So I can't ask Henry. But then I said to Damodar, I can't ask Henry. And Damodar said to me, Henry. Came back again. So I don't know what to do. What do you think? I said, well, he's over there. Give him a try. So he said, okay, you watch and pray. So I was standing at a distance. And he went over to Henry. I'm thinking, uh-oh. And then he's talking to Henry. And Henry's got this look on his face like, uh-oh. Like, it doesn't look good at all. And then all of a sudden, the whole thing changed. A big smile came on Henry's face. And then a big smile came on Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's face. And then it was over. And I came and I said, what happened? He said, you know, the most amazing thing happened. Henry was just given a lottery ticket where he won a car that was worth $30,000. And he sold the car and got the $30,000. So he just happens to have that money. It just happened last week. So now, Henry gave the $30,000. All glories to Radha Damodar. All glories to Bhakti Kirtan. He saved the land. That was his connection. He could talk to Krishna. And Krishna could tell him what to do. So, today is a very... There's so much I could say about Bhakti Kirtan. His vision, his compassion, his concern, his intense devotion. Sometimes people think he's a little different. He's preaching a little bit outside of Prabhupada. But you know, actually, he said, I'm simply taking what Prabhupada gave us, trying to reach people in the secular world according to how best they can understand. And the GBC confirmed Prabhupada, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's move. GBC made a wonderful statement saying, I can find this here, that list of glorifications by the GBC given to Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj upon his departure. That he was chaste to Srila Prabhupada's teaching. He also said that to me. I'm very conservative. Although he didn't seem to be very conservative to me. But he was in his own devotional life, studying Srila Prabhupada's books. But he had a mission. He felt his mission was to give Krishna consciousness to those people from different walks of life. Systematically developed bold and unconventional methods to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world and thus reach those unapproachable by traditional means. As a dynamic member of the original BBT library, Tulbari introduced Srila Prabhupada's books to universities and libraries in the United States, Europe, and behind the iron curtain with deep conviction, enthusiasm, and often with great personal risk. Wrote 24 books that explored the techniques and substance of Krishna consciousness, winning the acclaim of international experts for bringing his profound spiritual perspectives into the fields of leadership and personal growth. Was a counselor to heads of state and developed the art of winning their support to facilitate the spread of Krishna consciousness. And the list goes on and on and on. GBC wrote a beautiful glorification of Maharaj after his departure, really showing how much the impact he had on the world and on our society in such a wonderful way. But what stands out in my mind, and there's so many things that stand out in my mind, was his compassion. His compassion was not theoretical or philosophical. It was deep. He felt the hurt that other people were feeling. And by that mood of devotion, he was inspired to try to relieve people's suffering in one way or other through Krishna consciousness. In the last weeks of his stay with us, some of the young boys and girls in our society came to see him. And he touched their hearts in such a way that they all left crying. I was there. They said that this person really is so close to God. They were really touched by his concern, his compassion, his devotion. And he was always so positive too. Although he was dealing a lot with difficulties, problems, the GBC would sometimes depute him to deal with difficulties, fallen devotees, suicides in our movement, so many things. Still, he always was very positive. If we simply take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's instructions in the association of advanced devotees, we can move forward in that devotional life. One thing I would also like to say is his dancing. He's an amazing dancer. He could dance for hours. In glorifying Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Lokanath Maharaj writes a beautiful, beautiful eulogy. And in that eulogy, which is quite long, he describes one incident, which I was also there, in New Vrindavan during a festival. Lokanath Swami Maharaj led the Mangal Arti. And he was leading Mangal Arti, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was dancing in such a way. Now he would dance to inspire others to dance. You would see him dancing. He would always be pulling the other devotees to come and join by his enthusiasm and by his encouragement. So Lokanath Maharaj was so inspired to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj dance and how he was inspired everything. He went through Mangal Arti, through Tulsi Puja, through Japa, through Guru Puja, through class. The kirtan went on and on and on. Now that's a kirtan. And it was high-speed dancing through the whole thing. And Maharaj had such energy and such enthusiasm. And I remember I had a hard time keeping up. I would take a break every few minutes just to keep up with it. And, you know, and it was, I think a few people left for breakfast. But finally, I think around that breakfast time, Lokanath Swami slowed the kirtan down and finally it ended because I think the devotees needed some prasadam after that kirtan. But it was an amazing kirtan. And it was actually legendary. Maharaj danced and Lokanath Maharaj sung for hours. was just going to the whole morning program. Everyone forgot about everything. It just was absorbed in the kirtan. So he was an inspiration for devotees on all levels, whether it's preaching, dancing, compassion, so many things. Sacrifice. Funny story. I'll tell a little funny story. He told me he was in, I think it was in Nigeria. He was trying to take a plane from one country in Africa to another country. So he got on the plane, but they overbooked the plane. Way overbooked the plane. So there was not enough seats. So this was Africa many, many years ago. So they got on the loudspeaker and said, "We overbooked the plane and we don't know what to do, but we have one idea. Everyone get off the plane with their luggage, go on the other end of the runway, and with your luggage run to the plane." And the first ones who are on the plane gets the seats. He said there were old ladies, children. He said, "I was fast. I got a seat." When you think about it, it's not easy to preach in Africa. Very difficult. Very primitive situation. He told me another time when he was in Africa and got on the plane wouldn't start. They told everyone to get off and push the plane. I said we had to jumpstart the plane. So talk about sacrifice. You know, sometimes, you know, we undergo a little difficulty in our preaching. We think, "Oh my God, should I continue?" But imagine, you know, having to go through such difficulties just to preach and to show. And that was, for him, he liked that. He embodied that statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings a beautiful song. It's from Saranagati. And he glorifies devotional service. And then he says, "What?" He ends the song by saying, "What is my happiness in devotional service?" And then he answers his own question. He says, "My happiness, my dear Lord, is the difficulties I encounter in your devotional service." Doesn't say my happiness is, you know, nice prasad or whatever. He says, "The difficulties give me an opportunity to show my love." And that was the mood of Bhakti Kirtan Maharaj. To take on difficulties in order to show love, or what we say, appreciation for what Srila Prabhupada did, because Prabhupada took on so many difficulties for all of us. So, it's getting 9 o'clock and so much more. I'll stop here, as I think the devotees have a plan at 10 o'clock for a further program to go to the Samadhi. And to have parikram here, and then there's a glorification for Maharaj beginning at 10 o'clock in the Panchatattva extension. From here, the devotees leave to go to the Samadhi by parikram. And then they circumambulate, I think, the Samadhi, and then they come back here at 10 o'clock. Starts at 10 and come back here by 11. Mother Rajalila, should I ask for questions? Do we have time? Or comments, either one. Anyone would like to comment or question anything in relationship to Bhamaraj? Yeah, I think there's a program for all devotees to speak, and Mother Rajalila is organizing that. So, 10 o'clock. I'm sorry, 9:30. Kirtan procession with Gurudev's garland picture from temple. And that's Srivas Prabhu. And Nitya Priya will lead. And then 9:40, then we stop at Prabhupada's Samadhi for a short kirtan. And then we'll bring, enter Samadhi with God Brothers, take the shoes. Then we come back here, circumambulate Srila Prabhupada Samadhi, enter the temple, and back to Radha Krishna, Radha Madhava's temple. and then things go on. And all the way up to an offering at 1 o'clock, please come if you can and glorify this most very, I would say, exemplary devotee who literally gave his life to preach Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said something really, what we say, what's the word? I can think of the word prophetic. He said, this movement of Krishna consciousness will be successful in spreading around the world when we have the qualities of devotees that are willing to give their life to show compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. And that was Bhakti Kirtimaraj. He wanted to give everything to Srila Prabhupada's mission. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Oda Premanandi Hare Hare Krishna.
Eventually he agreed to do so, and we expressed that he's more than qualified, as we all see today, he's more than qualified to speak about His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. So thank you so much, Maharaj. Maharaj described the activities of the day. There's one additional announcement. There is a kirtan this evening in the Cyber Mansion. That would take place from 5 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. and then in honor of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. There will be a few special guests, and His Holiness Gopinath Swami will also come and chant. So please come out. This is in the Cyber Mansion. Okay. The Cyber Mansion is located, how could I describe this? This is going towards the Grihastha section. Is there a local devotee that could actually describe this? I see some faces here. They don't know where the Cyber Mansion is. The community hall. Okay, is it community hall? Okay, yes. It's in the community hall. That will take place from 5 p.m. until 8:30. So thank you very much. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.